And you must realize her mind has not matured with her body. Otherwise, she'd not have returned of her own volition to Woodrose. Amberley faltered beneath Julien's contemptuous sneer, wondering where the courage had come from to contradict her mother-in-law openly. Julien was a hard, cruel woman who'd never loved anyone but Henri. No matter how earnestly she'd tried, Amberley hadn't won the woman's affections. And now she didn't wish to try any longer. She disliked Julien, and always had. But she was under Julien's authority, and that of Julien's stepbrother, Guy de Bayonne, until King William could choose a new husband for her. The hatred congealed on Julien's face, and Amberley sensed that the woman would erupt again. So she tried a new tack, one which not even Julien could fault. "'Tis our duty, maman, to protect this Editha. She is a captive, and King William would insist she be treated with the fairness due all captives." As Amberley had realized, Julien couldn't argue with such logic, since it would never do to incur William's wrath. Too much rested on gaining his good grace. They must do so if Amberley was to make a favorable marriage after her days of mourning had passed. A favored alliance would certainly bring more lands and heavily filled coffers for Woodrow's keep. If there was one thing which Julien valued as much as her late son, it was wealth. Julien breathed deeply before turning her simmering gaze upon Father Ambrose, forgetting Amberley.
"I will have my revenge. I swear on my son's grave," she declared,
and rushed from the solar with her black blio swishing about her. The priest smiled weakly in Amberley's direction.
"I fear the Lady Julien spends too much of her time worrying about things she can do naught about. Henri is gone, but, alas, 'tis a pity she has no grandchild to worry over."
Amberley tensed and tightly clutched the mending needle.
"Oui. A child would have occupied Julien's time," she conceded softly, as a slight flush coloured her peach complexion and forced her to drop her dark-eyed gaze to the stone floor.
Father Ambrose wasn't being intentionally cruel about her childless state, that she knew, for he was a kind and considerate man. But she was well aware that part of Julien's dislike of her centred on the very issue of her barren state. God knows how much she'd have welcomed a child, especially now that she was in this strange and barbarous land without Henri and the parents whom she'd adored. She'd been married to Henri for 5 years before his death, and not once had she conceived. Despite Henri's youth, he'd been lusty in bed, so the fault couldn't have been his. It had to be hers. And this was one point to which Julien constantly alluded. She hadn't done her duty to Henri and the de Fontaine family by providing an heir. She'd been a poor wife to one of King William's most noble knights. Clearly, she was to blame. Ambrose gently touched her on the shoulder.
"Forgive me, milady. I meant no disrespect to you."
Bestowing a gentle smile upon the priest, Amberley nodded.
"I know. 'Tis only that maman stretches one's patience."
A laugh lighted up his face before it dissolved into seriousness.
"Where is Editha? I trust she shall come to no harm."
"I've placed her with Magda in the weaving room, where she'll be safe. None of the soldiers will bother her there, not with Magda nearby."
Magda was a serving woman who'd lived at the keep and served its former masters. She was also a large, formidable woman who'd guard her charge with her life, and Amberley trusted Magda to keep the girl away from the knights.
"Good, good. The Lord shall bless you for rescuing her, pagan that she is."
Amberley smiled tightly.
"Will he, Father? Somehow I believe that the Lord is punishing me. My parents both succumbed to a fever within days of each other last year, and my husband was brutally murdered before I could conceive a child. If I'm not being punished for something, then he has forgotten me."